carport. Them trap doors supposed to be awkward. If you know, you know. That's the reason we ball for. Circle round twice for the encore. If you know, you know.
What up, 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 do? Welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. I'm your host, Amon Hawkins. Appreciate you rocking with me. It's Freestyle Friday, okay? This is not your typical episode. It's Freestyle Friday. We get to talk about what the we want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Anything and everything that you want to talk about, you get to talk about on today's show because we got topics, but we don't got topics. We start off with topics, and it go left, because that's what Freestyle Friday is. You could do what the hell you want to do on Freestyle Friday. Salute to my sponsors, Abra Insurance. Go to Abra Insurance for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. The great people at Abra, serving to the state of Virginia for over 20 years. Also, Johns & Company Apparel. Healthy marriage is dope. You see that cocaine white I got on? Ball Hawk HMID. Johns & Company. .co. Use the promo code Ball Hawk HMID. Healthy marriage is dope. They got that cocaine white straight from Snowfall. Franklin is a connect. That's where they get their white tees from. Franklin Saint, goddamn. Franklin Saint. That's where they get it from. Link is in the description if you want to join to be an analyst on today's show. But make sure you go get this cocaine white healthy marriage is dope. I'm telling you. That joint soft too. Like butter. What'd he say in life? Tastes like butter. You know what I'm saying? Get you one. If you're in the YouTube chat, boom. I say boom. That with a link right there. So what we gonna start off with first? We gotta, you know what? Cause it don't do it no justice. Fight hype, salute to y'all. But I gotta play the Floyd Mayweather hype tape, that's what I call it. Cause all it is hype. Cause look, like I said before, cause you know that's Floyd's favorite word. Like I said before. What, Floyd? When did you say it? Like I said before. What did you say, Floyd? Hold on, let me type it up right quick. We got to see this, man. Floyd Mayweather versus all the Pauls, Logan and Jake. Yeah, we got to show this because this is hilarious right here. Hold on, let me get the volume. Get the volume right. Here we go. Unmute the site. Bam. Now let me share. Got to share it. I said share it. There you go. We're going to get that pulled up right now. And we're going to get that right there. There we go. Why I ain't got no sign? Uh-oh. Chill. Oh, let's go back to the beginning. Salute to Miami Herald. Look at Floyd. Looking like somebody uncle at the cookout. Get that fool, Floyd. Get off me. Get off me. He took my hat. Do you see my hair? Get him. Get him, Floyd. You ain't gonna disrespect me.
I think that was a setup. I'm not gonna lie.
Hey, man. Let me tell you something. Floyd Mayweather and the Paul brothers are geniuses. Hey, Steph, I don't know what the hell wrong with your phone, man, but get the hell off all these. Dog. We ain't not going to do this today, Stephon. See, this that janky promotion shit right here. How your shit like it's supposed to, Stephon? The hell you got going on in the waiting room? I'm going to let Shake and Bake in here. That goes Shake and Bake. What the fuck is wrong with Stephon right now? What's good with you, fam?
Man, I'm chilling, man. How are you?
Hey, man, you know, we having fun like Floyd Mayweather right now. You know. Floyd Mayweather, because like I said before, you know, this is what I do. I'm 50-0, and it's different. It's different when you get in the ring with me.
Facts.
Yo, Floyd Mayweather Jr. And now, for all the folks who don't know, he's fighting Logan. Logan the Maverick Paul. He's the one that hasn't won a single damn fight. This ain't Jake, the KO artist. This is Logan. Because I see a lot of people saying, I can't wait for Floyd to finally knock his ass out for what he did to Nate. That ain't the same brother, you dummies. Pay attention. And that's what they banking on. All these damn young ass dummies out here that just going to think, oh, he going to knock out Floyd next. And then it's like, ta-da, it ain't the same one. I think that's why the brother jumped in and stole the hat. Try to pull the wool over our eyes. Yeah, man, but a lot of people think Floyd's stupid for taking this. Ain't nobody going to ever turn down free money.
Facts.
We ain't going to never turn down free 99 monies. And if I'm Floyd, and I know them boys got millions upon millions of Instagram followers, I'll tighten you up for a couple quick meal for 4-5 rounds. What's that? 15 minutes?
He ain't going
to time up. What up, everybody? He ain't going to time up.
You know?
Yeah, he gonna put the pause on. Were you about 50? Were you close to? I'm sorry, he ain't 50. Were you about in your 40s, bro? You ain't trying to do all that. You ain't going no 10 rounds, man. You try to get him out of
it's
there,
an exhibition.
Bro.
I think it's gonna go maybe. It's only gonna go like six rounds. I think it's like a true exhibition. I don't think it's sanctioned. You know what I'm saying? They fighting in Florida, I think too.
Japanese fighter.
Yep,
that was an exhibition. He was out of there. You saw how quick he got.
Yeah, he got his ass up out of there. For real, bro.
Perfect example. I mean, that's just like with you, right? I mean. Look, man, you ain't about to line up with nobody just like these young guys and play a whole hour, 2 hour football game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
You gonna go out there for backyard? You may run full speed, maybe about 2 or 3 plays,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Do what you gotta do to get up out of there.
Yeah, get their ass up out of there. I mean, for Floyd Smart, so Floyd gonna fight. He fighting Jake. Yeah, he gonna fight Jake first. And then he gonna clown Jake. I mean, what? No, he fighting Jake. Logan, you right. Damn, I get him confused too. And see, I just got him confused. So you know they're gonna have a bunch of viewers. I just got him confused and I just said which one was which. So he fighting Logan first, gonna do him dirty. Mm-hmm. And then Jake gonna come in and be like, you can't beat me. And then they're going to set that one up. That's going to be another quick bag.
Jay trying to set it up in the same night.
Don't be surprised if it happened, too. They're going to make an addendum. Yeah. He's fighting both. He's going to let them rotate rounds.
What's that movie where that old boxer, and they said he went up there and had knocked out everybody in the town. I think he had to fight like 15 people.
Oh.
It's an old movie.
Damn.
I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Yeah.
It'll come back to me later. But it was an old movie about a boxer. They said that he was the best.
Mm.
And they was like, the whole town wanted a piece of him. And they made a bet. And he swatted everybody in the whole town.
Damn.
All the white boys. Yeah, it was crazy. It was a good movie, though.
That joint was in black and white, wasn't it? Diggstown.
Diggstown.
Yeah. Shout out to Sebastian right there. What's good with you, bro?
Is that Bunny Ranch?
Yep. we forget.
Bunny Ranch
Hey, yo, he ain't been on since that day, too. His ass must have got tightened up. You must have got tightened up, Rock, because you ain't been on since the Bunny Ranch episode. Yeah.
I've been looking for Jamaica trips and everything for the wife, but not because of that.
Yo, and that was and it's a Lou Gossip movie, so you know Dern your ass was in the damn crates. Not a Lou Gossip movie. God damn, top, I mean, American Eagle ass, head ass boy.
Hey, Hulk, I commented on there about, before I got on, about how smart Floyd Mayweather is for this. And in the midst of me logging on, I already kind of changed my mind, bro.
Oh, here we go. Let's do here.
Because I think he going to whoop the first brother, right?
Yeah.
But how much does Jake Paul weigh?
They both like 200. Like, so this brother he fighting now is a bigger one. He like 205, 210. And then Jake is like 190, like 195 close. I mean, they basically 200 pounds.
So check this out. I don't care what nobody say. Weight matters. It's the reason why they have it.
Yep.
Weight matters.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just starting to look at everything going on with Floyd. Like, these guys are nowhere close to near being skillful enough to match with Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
But when I start looking at how long Floyd been retired, how old Floyd is,
mm-hmm.
how small Floyd is,
mm-hmm.
he you little. Know what I'm saying? Like, he constantly playing with fire. If they were smaller dudes, which I think he gonna whoop the first one with no problem because I mean, I don't know anything.
He trash. I seen his fight. He trash.
Yeah. But, like, Jake, I don't think Jake had the skills or the quickness, right? But he have the muscle to slam a Floyd into the corner.
He going to average. Right? Hey, hold on, dog. Don't tell me that motherfucker Floyd going to get Apollo Creed.
That's what I would do. I would average Drago him. That's like when I say.
God dang like, on Floyd.
When I used to say stuff like that, you know how guys are. Like, I'm a guy who feel like I can beat Floyd because he's so much smaller. And I'm an athlete also. I'm quick. I can move, but I know I can't. I'm not quick as Floyd. But what I'm saying is, I will run clean across the ring when the bear thing and throw him so hard into the corner to now he can't dodge me and just let loose bombs.
Yeah, you watch Rocky IV.
That matters. Have you ever been punched in your arm by an older guy when you were little and couldn't return the punch because your arm hurt so bad, like? I truly feel like that's what could happen. I don't know if these guys are the guys that can do that, but like fighting a bigger, stronger guy, that's like I always use the big cat analogy. Man, you play too much. Like, it's a reason why we can't do anything with the lion.
Who gonna be Rocky, yo? Who gonna be Rocky? Huh? This what we gonna see? Huh?
We might.
Floyd gonna come out like Apollo?
Hey, Rod. Hey, man, I want to pack you up like this, but you know what I'm saying? It's out of love. You would have a point if you didn't fight somebody like Cotto or a Canelo. Canelo walks around by one.
Beating the hell out of Apollo. That's gonna be Floyd, because Floyd already got the hair almost.
And you saw how easily Floyd took him out.
Did he fight Canelo?
Through the top.
He was still the age difference was still the same
the
age.
Hell out of Apollo. Good night.
As far as technique will never get old, bro. You know what I'm saying? They will never be as skilled or be the technical fighter that Floyd is.
They won't, but fighting is just like anything
else. I'm just going to leave this up here, bro. We're going to put this full screen.
When someone is throwing punches
at you,
this
is classic.
You actually have to be conditioned for that. Because when somebody hits you, that shit will make everything reboot. You'll be like, oh, wait a minute. I'm like, Floyd not used to that for real.
Hey, yo.
You see when Floyd get like you remember when Shane hit Floyd? Floyd for a minute was like,
oh, he was like, Elvis. Oh. His ass was Elvis. He was all shook up. Them knees.
Yeah.
I have a question. So you remember that uppercut he caught from Conor McGregor? You think the white boys punch as hard as he do?
I think they punch harder than Conor.
Yeah, they punch harder than Conor.
Oh, hell no.
They punch harder than Conor, bro.
Where do you see that at?
Look at his face. Hey, man, look at him. Look at him, King. Look at him. You see that face? That's the face I'm going to get when goddamn Jake land that tattoo on Floyd ass the sequel fight. Not this one with Logan.
I tell you what.
I know.
If Floyd go in there and whoop the brother and then him and Jake fight, I will bet on Jake. Because for business purposes, like, I'm pretty sure the odds are going to be ridiculous.
Right. What are you betting on? Are you betting on round? What round are you going to go to?
No.
Is that what you betting on?
Hey, I'm scared to do that.
Hey, man, Floyd might go night-night. He better fight this brother and get the hell out of Dodge. He don't want the other brother. The other brother don't care, man. He's just going to be, look. Here's why I'm nervous for Floyd to fight the other brother. Because he don't care. He's just going to, like Rock said, he'll just start throwing punches. And Floyd, think on playing with you and then bop. That's all it takes is a bop. One bop. Like Sugar Shane gun started jamming because he was thinking too much. He, you know what I'm saying? He had the Freddie Roach hands after he hit Floyd. No disrespect. It's just comedy. But he, bow, he hit Floyd. All of a sudden, his hand started doing this. He couldn't punch no more. It's like, what the hell is wrong with Shane? Like, punch him again.
There's nothing that Jake can throw at him that he ain't already seen.
Oh, I agree with
and
that.
Like, same with these boxers, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? You see the punch before you even throw it. And that's going to be a lot of things with Jake. It's not enough experience, bro. The experience gap is too wide. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not gonna matter. Even if it's an inside fight, he better hope it's not an inside fight, bro.
Yo, 50 pounds though, bro. I'm with Rock though. 50 pounds, I gotta worry a little bit. Floyd, my favorite. I gotta worry just a little bit. They both wrestle.
Say Jake Paul used to get punched in the stomach.
No. Look. I'm not saying Floyd ain't gonna beat that ass, but. All it takes is, like, it's still 50-pound difference, and it's you.
You're asking for, like, a needle, basically a needle in a haystack.
No, no, we not. Look, everything, like, I don't get why we do this. Check this out. I done played a lot of football in my life. Hawk done played a lot of football, and, like, we done dominated in football. I guarantee you if Hawk put on some gear and get out there in the NFL, I'm going to bet my money he going to get his ass sauced up. No offense.
I'm not saying he's not.
Because
I'm not.
Age matters. Like, time matters. Like, this I knew it was really over in football, too. Every time I ran down there and I hit somebody and I started forgetting where I was at, I was like, it's time to put it up. Like, I be forgetting that I even suited up to play a game. I'm like, what time the game start?
Yo.
Like, it's over with, bro. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that stuff be matter. Nah, like,
I got you with time. I mean, you know, Father Time does go undefeated. But, like, I don't know. With fighting, I feel like fighting is just a little bit different, bro. That's why you have these guys that are masters and still be whooping up on folks. I feel like this. Okay, maybe if you would have fought him about 5-6 years back, he probably would have played around with him. You know what I'm saying? Try to show more of his skill, try to put on a show. He's not going to try to put on a show with these boys. He's going to try to get them out within the first 2 or 3 rounds.
But see, I don't think he can knock them out.
Okay.
Maybe he can. Because, like, I hope he don't make the mistake of doing what Nate did and underestimate this guy. That's what I'm saying. Floyd needs to train, and he needs to train hard. Floyd needs to be watching film and dissect it. See, I believe if Floyd do that, if Floyd going,
remember
there,
Floyd said he don't watch film, and then this is and then this is his uncle broke him down.
Just like Jay-Z don't write.
Hey, who train? Like, is his daddy going to train him? Like, Come on, man. We can't be Mike Tyson in Tokyo. We can't be Mike Tyson in Tokyo.
Not watching film and not writing.
It's a lie. Yeah, it's a lie. I know they watched that.
I get it.
Because Jay-Z will go in there and punch in every single line and stuff like that. That's still like, you just didn't write it on the pad.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying, with so much experience, bro, it's just a little bit different.
I don't know, dog, because you remember when Mike Tyson doing them damn exhibitions late in his life, and people was like, man, they can't hurt. Man, they were tatting Mike ass. They was tattooing his ass up out of here.
Exactly.
I mean, Mike was out of shape, but what? We still kept thinking, it's just still Mike.
One of the few things that doesn't go anywhere is your power.
Yeah.
You can be old and still have a whole lot of power. But your speed and quickness and reaction, that, see, Mike used to be able to, ping.
Hey, yo, what if Mike's head couldn't move no more? Lennox Lewis was like, man, sit your ass down. That's why Mike ain't gonna fight no Lennox Lewis on no shit like he did with Roy. Lennox Lewis will get his ass about it. I'm sorry, Mike Tyson fan. Lennox Lewis ain't nothing to play with. I don't care.
Nah, we know that.
Lennox Lewis beat the hell out of Mike. I eat your kids.
I still don't have no respect for him. He should have fought Mike a long time.
He could, man. Mike was locked up. He wanted to, man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Removed is Mayweather from fighting from the last fight he fought?
How many years ago was that with Conor?
It seemed like it wasn't that long ago, but it was
like 4 years,
four or five
when
years.
When he fought the guy in Japan.
No, he fought Conor after that. He fought the Japan kid first, and then fought Conor.
I thought it was the other way around.
I mean, that shit lasted what, 7 seconds?
But guess what, Hawk?
Beat the hell out of that little boy. And he was bigger than him. Floyd was bigger than him.
Jealous of them Paul kids, because
they so smart, man.
Not only did they become YouTube sensations, this fighting Floyd Mayweather gonna bring up bad.
Yo, I'm glad you said that, bro. I am pissed off that they got the damn privilege of being in the same ring as one of the greatest boxers we've ever seen in our life.
That's unheard of.
So Brandon said it happened on 2017 with Conor. That's on August 26, 2017 is the last time Floyd was in the ring.
So almost 4 years.
Yeah.
Man, imagine us being able to fight against Mike Tyson, bro.
Rock.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to do that.
I ain't going in there with Mike. Nah. Roy Jones.
You see the difference, though, yeah. How we respect Mike? It's the power that got
it. I still, like, people talking about Wilder some trash. Wilder this. Your average boxer just won't step in the ring with Wilder. Tyson Fury did. But all these other bums that be talking shit, the boys from over across the pond and shit, not Chiroza, because he cool, but the other one, he talked so much trash about Wilder, he ain't getting in the ring with Wilder. The other dark skinned dude. Yo, Stefan, I don't know what's wrong with your phone, bro, but you trash today, man.
Yeah, like,
I hope you're not talking about Anthony Joshua.
It's hard for me to feel threatened by a smaller guy. History in my life has never shown. Like, I've seen smaller guys beat up bigger guys before, but I haven't seen smaller guys beat up skillful bigger guys.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's a difference. Like, when that bigger guy got skills also.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough one.
What the hell is Czar at, man? Czar, bring that ass here, boy.
Yeah, because y'all crazy showing them highlights.
Man, that highlight he showed, man, it was even cap. He talking about, I knocked that dude out. The dude got up and gave the ball to the referee. Like, something wrong with him, bro. He might be special, man.
Oh, man.
All right, so
shoulder pads and stuff.
While we're just talking about, so Floyd, make sure you don't get your homeboy training you like Mike Tyson had for Tokyo. And with that, we're going to transition. Before we get to the Tokyo Games and the ban of BLM, DK Metcalf is going to run 100 meters this weekend.
He's going to get smoked. That's
what time? Everybody, I just want to know how fast you think he's going to run. I don't care if he beat anybody. How fast? It's like golf for me when it comes to the 100 meter dash for him. I just want to know what his time is going to be. I don't care if he beat nobody. What y'all think he's gonna run?
He'll 10-5 guy.
Damn. 10-5 electronic.
At running at where? At 205? Because at 230,
y'all do special,
at 230, man. At 230, he ain't running no 10-5 killer.
Guess what? I got it. I'm gonna say this quick little story. I never forget. Like we had some dogs, right? Mm-hmm. As far as track, just in sprint. Like the rest of our track team was sorry, but we could sprint with folks, right?
Okay.
And I never forget, we showed up and we was kind of hearing all these talks about this one particular guy from Hamilton High School. I think he ended up running not in the Olympics, but like was an alternate or something.
Okay.
And we looking for this guy that's supposed to be the fastest guy. We passing by this big old tall, strong, muscular dude, and they run around hollering, "Whose house? Our house." We're like, "Ain't no way that's him." Everybody like, "That's the guy, that's the guy."
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we lined up, all you saw was shoe soles and booty holes. like this dude look like a horse. So some guys be gifted like that. And I think DK one of them, bro. Now, I don't think he's Olympic worthy.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to figure out what he going to run. Because he ain't ran track since he was in high school. He was a hurdler in high school. I guess a part of me is like defensive. Like, yo, I'm like, you gotta give track runners like they respect. Like, ain't no dude just going to roll out of bed and run no 10-5. Like,
hey, and 100 meters is a long
way. That's a long way. And it's so much strategy in that race. Is he gifted as far as speed? Absolutely. He just don't know what come with it. It's just like that, like we was talking about boxing. Like, he like that dude that got hella power, but he just don't have the pedigree to really be as good as you assumed he would be. Like, he gonna run fast, but
I learned super late in my career that just like any other sport, track is a game, right? Mm-hmm. You really got to know how to. And even when I ran track my whole life, I used to run confused on when to do this and when to do that.
Yeah.
If he do what he did when he ran the boy down, if like after you get to a certain speed, it's no more increasing speed.
No, and it's
sometimes
not.
He does that. He tries to run harder. You try to run harder if you want to. And that used to be my problem. My 40 times didn't go down until I learned that, you know what? You're not going to run faster than this point. You got to maintain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I learned that, like, it was like, whoo. Because see, my starts were so fast. When I finally got with people who taught me how to actually run the 40, they were like, "I've never seen anything like this in all my years of training people how to run the 40." They were like, "You run your 20 to 30, your 10 to 20, your 30 to 40 slower than you do your 0 to 10. They were like, "That's unheard of."
Mm.
Like, they were like, "You're not supposed to get slower." Mm-hmm. It's because I was fighting so hard to run fast. You know what I'm saying? So I was fighting against myself. And I see that in DK sometimes. You know, once you get to a certain speed, man, especially in track, the rest of that thing is coasting, baby.
Yeah, and that was just my main thing. It's like, yeah, DK's fast, but in track, you got to understand, you got to relax. Like, some people going to jump out and take off. And you made the perfect example. Are you going to try to just skip all your phases and try to get to your top speed right now, and then when you get to your top speed, are you going to try to like pump your head forward like it's going to make you run fast? Because in the football field, when you're trying to use somebody in the football field, you pumping because you see the target. But track, you got to stay relaxed. And that was my main thing. Like, I don't care about him qualifying. I don't care about what he placed. I like that he took the challenge, but when it comes to times, and I see people saying, oh, he can run like a 10-4. He can run a 10-3. And then you look at the miles per hour, it's equivalent to 9.88. I'm just like, bro, don't set him up like that. Like, you're really going to set his ass up that if he runs like a 10-7 or a 10-6, nobody's going to respect it because everybody was saying he was going to run a 10-3 or 10-4. If he runs a 10-7, 10-8, 10-6, that's fast for a football player that doesn't specialize in the event.
Oh, I pray he don't get hurt. I'm scared for that because the way you got to open up and track, I guarantee he too tight for it. I don't see him stretching out like he need to for track and field. He been trained, he been power, even though sprinters and stuff do a lot of power lifting and stuff like that, but
they want you to get lean muscle though. They want you lean muscle and track.
Yeah, you gotta be lean.
Like I used to lose 10 pounds as soon as I got back in the track. Like I lost the football weight. You had to lean up. You had to get that flexibility.
One guy I've seen get faster though after his start. And that's Usain.
Oh, I mean, because he's the same height as DK, damn near. That, and that's why I want to see how's the start going to be. You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna be fun to see, bro.
Than we would think, DK, like, DK how powerful he is, it might look real good.
Hey, Darian Petty, man. He keeps saying, look, I'm saying I don't even care where he plays. He just stuck on. He going to get smoked.
Nah, cause I'm understanding that. Cause I got friends that are Olympians, right?
Yeah.
They kind of take it as a disrespect for real. Cause it's like, bro, y'all sit here and boost him up, but you want to boost the guys up that's been doing this. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a disrespect for them.
They had that energy when you're saying both like, pretty hard to play football.
The football players did. Football players wanted to light his ass up.
Play football. Football players get pissed about that.
Football players wanted to fuck who sent. They was like, oh, yeah, let his ass come out here. That's the first thing they said.
It's for either side.
Yeah.
It's for either side. I believe it. But I'm just saying, like, for the work that goes into that, and everybody want to goes off of him chasing down Buda Baker, and they're like, oh, man, he can run the Olympics. I'm like, bro, he's not even – like close to Tyreek fast, bro. You know what I'm saying? And those guys, you know, Tyreek is like ridiculous, but even Tyreek will have a problem with top sprinters.
Absolutely.
And I would say Tyreek not as fast as people think he is.
Man, right.
That's
a fact
too.
No, I seen him race against T.O.
Right.
T.O.
Did you just say that?
Right.
I don't know, dude.
No, that's not
of course, I don't expect him to be track speed, but, bro, that motherfucker's fast, bro. I don't know about.
And guess what? Them track guys going to beat him, too.
Oh, yeah. No. They'll beat him.
They're supposed to. They're track guys.
If Tyreek went to go run the 100 and somebody said, Tyreek can run the 10-4, 10-5, I'd be like, you're right, because I got documentation that shows you he already did that before. You feel what I'm saying?
Like, Tyreek did work on that track before.
Yeah, he done ran, what, 10? Let me see. I'll look it up. Tyreek done ran some fast 100 times.
He wanted the top fastest time. I think
Harmon did some work on the track, too.
Yeah.
Still, but what I'm saying
Miko,
is this.
Yeah, Miko
you
did.
You got guys who've been running track since kids and been training there as adults and DK and
DK different, but Cheetah been on that track too. He just veered off into football. DK, I completely agree. I still want to see it just to see how it looks, but
that's gonna be entertaining.
Gonna put him in the back, but
yeah.
But if he and guess what, anybody that ever ran track, no, it's a weird. Even though you're not touching each other in track, you can feel the presence of people, right? Mm.
I know it. I never ran it. I did the shot put, but I used to watch them, and them boys is different, bro.
But guess, like, it's games that you play in track. I learned it. I used to play games with people in track when I got older, but it was because of what older dudes did to me when I was younger. I know what it's like to be in front of a guy and hear him talk to me and catch me because I'm worried, because I hear him talking about, come here, boy. I got you now. Yeah, you getting tired. He was talking. Why we was running and came right on past me and beat me. Like, if when you feel the presence of somebody, you can tighten up and lose your technique. And that's how you can lose. So he don't have enough practice, in my opinion, I don't think, to be able to ignore that fear. Like, you can, like, feel the hair stand up on your neck when you're running when it's a tight race.
Mm-hmm.
And any little false move can cause you to lose. You get to running wild and all that. Now it look like you six steps behind.
Well, I'm going to show y'all Tyreek's official times. In the 100, he ran a 10.19. That was... that's electronic. And then he ran a win 8 at 9. He ran a win 8 at 9.98.
That boy fast, man.
A 20.1 in the 200 meters. And so Tyreek said something that was real. He said that when he was back in high school and he ran that sub 10, he was 175 pounds. Right now, he 195. And this was last year when he was thinking about training for it. He was like, if I get back to really trying to compete in track, I'm going to have to lose weight. And then you got, Javid Best, that the running back that, what was that, Detroit? Because he had qualified in the 100. And he said the only reason why he was able to do that because he actually trained for over a year. So
yeah, I remember Chris Rainey.
Yeah.
Chris Rainey was a big track guy. Mm-hmm. There was another guy that was with him too.
Wasn't Rainey a Florida boy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Florida dude.
Rainey was fat.
John Capel.
Percy Harvin was a track guy too.
Yep, Percy was a track guy.
A lot of the Florida boys is just super fast.
Yeah, it's gonna be aired. I think it takes place on Sunday.
Daryl Green was a track guy, dude.
Hell yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So,
Daryl Green went a 10.08 in the 100. 10.08,
1983. And Daryl Green, his situation weird, too. Like, that man built wrong because I don't know where he can move.
In other words, you say he a bad body runner.
Yeah, like.
Jacoby Ford. Yeah.
That motherfucker will hawk you down, boy.
Oh, Jacoby Ford. That's what I was thinking.
Y'all remember Willie Gault back in the day? He ran a 10.1. Trenton Holiday ran a 10 flat in 2009.
Well, he was fast. He had a little dude from Denver, right?
Y'all remember Jerome Mathis? I think
he Jerome Mathis, too. Houston, Texas, Hampton University. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I thought he was a track guy, too.
Yeah.
But that's my thing, though. At two, unless he might slim down, that'll be the only way I believe he running even close to a 10.5. But at 230, 240, he not running no 10.5.
And if he run a 10.8 or 10.7 at 235, that's hella impressive to me.
Yeah.
So when I say he going to run a 10.8, I ain't saying it as a diss. I'm like, he run a 10.8, that's top flight right there. That's getting it going at 235.
Moving that fast,
Rock. What happened?
I just saw a commercial said Vikings final episode's coming in June. Yes,
I thought that jump was over.
I thought it was over too. Ivor the Boneless.
Yeah, I thought that jump was done.
Man, when I just saw that commercial, they got me excited. See, I just watched all of them like within the last 2 months.
Yeah.
I like binge watching. I hate waiting for something. Like, Snowfall be pissing me off waiting the next week.
That last season was epic, though.
That last season was
so great.
Let me see if we can get Czar up in the building.
I'm waiting to see how that new power looks that way.
You see what I'm saying? That's what I hate. Like, I'm such a fan of Power and Snowfall. The waiting makes me mad, bro. I don't like waiting.
I really
want to see where they left off from where Tariq was at. I don't even care about this Raising Kanan one like that.
I think that was going to be dope.
Don't disrespect them folks, Blaze. You got to give them props. Because guess what? When them folks killed Ghost, we all got mad. We thought it was over.
Nah, yeah.
I said I was still going to watch it. I don't even tell you. I said I still was going to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bullet Bob Hayes. I remember him play for the Cowboys.
So I'm going to always give the writers of Power an opportunity
in that lady
because of what they did. I didn't think they made us love Tyreek. Everybody hated Tyreek.
That and this new series make you love him again.
They made us love Tyreek.
They made us hate. They made us love him in this season.
Tyreek is like, teach me the game, Ghost. I'm like, hey, Tyreek, tell him what's up.
Hey, Rob, what's good with you, man?
I like Tyreek.
Hey man, now that we got Rob in the building, we might as well transition to some draft talk. You know what I'm saying? This punk ass. Well, let me not say punk ass, but the ruling that they tried to get going in Georgia with the 75% of the.
Man, we already talked about Floyd.
Yeah, we already talked about that.
Cause he was out there looking like me, boy.
He's looking like he was at Selma.
you said y'all already talked about Georgia passing it.
Nah, we ain't talk about that yet. But it, you know, with Rob here, that's the perfect segue to discuss that. And you know,
Hawk, I'm not even mad about it.
Oh, here we go.
I'm telling you, I'm not mad about it. That's stupid on their part. Anybody that still go to a Georgia school, long as they're in place,
okay,
stupid for them.
All right.
Don't they open the schools back up?
No, hey. They taking 75% of these kids' money.
Wow, so, man. I've been out of the loop there.
So guess what? I wouldn't go there. I just wouldn't go.
For real. I would cancel a hard bet. I'm not coming there no more. I'm out.
Exactly. That'll solve itself unless you, if kids still go big time players and they still win, then it's going to make everybody else follow suit and say, well, we're going to take 75%.
Mm. Yep.
It's a lot deeper than that.
Get on the all right, hold on. They start losing. That's going to change in about 2 years.
So what you got, Rob? I'm going to give Rob the solo screen. What you got to say?
It's a lot deeper than that. And name, image, and likeness. And once again, I said this yesterday on my podcast. There are professional athletes making hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars a year that can't get money off of their name, image, and likeness. And they sign with the biggest agencies in the world. And so when you talk about name, image, and likeness, really what goes into it, there's so many different things that haven't been discussed. People talk about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it yet. As I said before, we're the only ones that have done it, so I can speak to this directly. So when Brian Kemp, the state of Georgia, says that we want to take 75% of something without you, they get zero. Let's everybody know what I've been telling everybody from day one. Sports is not a game. Sports is all business. And for that exact reason, understand that if you are generating revenue and then the state's going to take 75%. To see what you see on the screen right now is not cheap. It costs money. To build a brand, sustain a brand, to manipulate and grow a brand costs money. None of those things get factored in. So, again, when you have a governor saying what he's going to take for someone before he actually put anything to give to them, let you know exactly what it is. These athletes are going to generate billions of dollars in these economies. So not just Georgia, it's Florida, it's Iowa, it's Texas, and so on. All these states that continue to do things against the actual athlete, like American athletes' best go generate billions for the economy while they're basically suppressing your vote. Once again, knowledge is power, and us as people, as I said on the last show, continue to not understand what's going on right in front of our face. And because somebody's got a superstar behind our name, run behind us, and then we generate this revenue, and then you'll say, oh, 75%. You don't understand. 75% of zero is zero. So if those kids decide to go to a different state, revenue for themselves and their families would be better off. But the industry at large, the mainstream media, is not addressing these things the way they should. And so I come on the show to speak on these things because, like I said, if I get a check, I have basically taxes to pay on that check. In my business, am I incorporated? No. So if somebody gives me something, they're not using me as a deduction. There's so many different components to this that literally that there's so many scammers out there as well. It's going to continue, as I call sports traffickers. That's really going to set these kids up for failure long term. But pay attention to where these states, these things are actually happening. The same schools, the same states that want to talk about this is where you want to go on college game day. It's the same people that want to talk about happening and leaking things and talking about Justin Jefferson or Jordan Jefferson, whatever his name is now a figure on Fortnite. But not mentioning guys like Rashawn Gary, the only player ever to have his own sports agency coming in for generational wealth. We're more concerned about being a video game, being a character on it, but we get no revenue from that whatsoever. So once again, we're talking about 75% of something. Once again, the athlete don't know, don't understand, and you expect that any of these schools, these governments, these coaches, universities, as I said before, anything that pertains to the athlete well-being and generational wealth, these coaches are silent once again. Voter suppression in Iowa is happening. Voter suppression in the eyes of Texas is happening. Voter suppression in Georgia is happening. And voter suppression in Florida is happening. Yet, we're not doing that. We're not,
Rob,
saying, I'm not going there.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I got to ask because I'm lost.
Yes, you do. You mean to cut him off.
when I keep hearing you say that guys are not making money off of their likeness. Hey, baby, how you doing? When I keep hearing you say guys are not making money off of their likeness, I'm wondering, like, why do you say that? Like video games. Okay. Sorry, that's my kids. They love to come tell me they did good in school because they know I cut up. But anyway, like video games, like guys get paid off of being on video games.
No, they don't.
I
played in the arena and they checked. So you call that money, I'm sorry, y'all in the wrong bracket. That's pennies to the dollar. And that's what I'm talking about again. Without those athletes, those pennies that they got in that check, and again, how I deal with business regarding millionaires, that's a billion-dollar industry when they're giving out pennies to the people without them and zero. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they don't give money, but there's no money worth talking about. That's the problem.
Oh, okay. You know, all that money Fortnite got, bro, that's just, what they give them athletes is pennies, bro. Exactly. They're not really giving them nuts.
That's my point. So once again, when you allow yourself to be manipulated and put in a scenario where they can make it seem like they give you the credence, oh yeah, look what you did, you on Fortnite. They got giving you checks. They're giving you accolades, but they're basically generation of wealth off of you. And this has happened for decades, and it continues to happen. So once again, when everybody talking about what they're going to do and how these players are going to get paid, I'm talking about professional athletes that are in the millionaires, some of these big agencies. Des Bryant is almost 32 years old, so running routes on Instagram, represented by Roc Nation. No marketing. So once again, you don't know the business that we're around spinning in circles for a couple of Instagram followers and likes, and keep doing it for that. It ain't Des getting paid for that. It's Instagram.
So how did you feel about LeVar? I'm not talking about the aftermath. I'm talking, hindsight. How did you feel about LeVar Ball and his attempt when he first came out? Because, I never heard you speak on him before. Because, I felt like we should have been in support of a guy like LeVar Ball and what he was trying to do. And he was attacked by so many of our own. How did you feel about what LeVar was trying to do and trying to say and put out there when he first came out?
I feel this rock every day, and this is why I come on the Ball Hawk show. Because you see how I'm dressed, and people don't understand. I do manage millionaires, and we'll go in the boardroom with someone that's Caucasian. I'm going to speak my mind, but I'm going to speak it professionally. Mm. Us African-American people, we prideful. And for the fact that I am black and I'm smart, I'm not going to apologize for that. But I do have to actually know that people in my own space that look at me don't like the fact that I'm this. They'd rather give the money to someone else who don't look like me simply because I'm smarter than the one that's over there. So the pride kicks in. So what LeVar Ball ended up doing was he didn't understand. He was on the right path and the concept, and he did it right. That's what I'm talking about. We talk about name, image, and likeness. No one has did it bigger than he did, and it flopped. So what makes you think that people who don't care about you, that are not related to you, now all of a sudden going to jump in and save the day and say, we really care about these kids and get paid? And none of these college coaches are saying anything. Voter suppression is happening. They talk about national championship. I purposely sat back and waited 3 days after the draft because, again, when we talked in the last show about who's going to get drafted, the day before the draft, not actually the day of the draft, I did a video and I said, opt-outs will be paid today, timestamping. And then turn around after the draft. I wanted to see if the media is going to talk about how great of the business decisions that these kids made that opted out. How that the first 1AA quarterback was taken before the national championship quarterback. How the first linebacker was taken before other people as an opt out. The first edge rusher was taken as an opt out. The first wide receiver, not national champion, not Heisman Trophy winner, was taken as an opt out. These are all things that the NFL looked at and said, hey, no injuries. No wear and tear. I don't care about your trophies. I don't care about your rings. I don't care about your t-shirt. I don't care about your head coach. I care about what you can do in this business for me. I'm the only one professionally speaking to that. And for the fact is that so many of our people continue to want to be patted on the head by Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or whoever in the eyes of Texas, not realizing you going full circle, you ended right back where you started. So LeVar Ball, he did it right by supporting his kids, but he didn't handle it in a business sense.
I got a question for you, Rob. All
right.
I got a question for you. Now, with the Trey Lance thing, do you think that's going to open it up for more D2 players? What? Or D1AA players?
So again, it doesn't matter. I've been saying this for years. It matters about your talent. It matters about your health. It matters about your development. It matters about your professionalism. Again, I go back to what I did here. What we did with Rashawn Gary is no one in the history of this space in the NFL in 101 years, other than Rashawn Gary, that basically had an African-American agent represent him who never had a play before him that was drafted. He was the number 12 overall pick. The point was, a brief post game explained to you guys, has nothing to do with your agent, your coach, your production on the field, because that can be manipulated today. Trey Lance played one game in 19 months, and they drafted him ahead of Mac Jones, who Nick Saban said he wanted his waffle fries for the Big Mac. See, what people don't understand about this business, again, everybody want to look at Adam Schefter and I want your whole audience to understand these things. NFL don't listen to them. See, these things are obsolete. Back in the day when it was technology and really a lot of cell phones, people wanted to get information, so they had to go do the dial-up, whatever, whatever, whatever. This is when it all started. So they wanted the information regardless about people they couldn't normally get. It wasn't film. It wasn't huddle. It wasn't all this mass cameras everywhere. So basically, they try to get as much information they possibly can to make an informed decision. That was then. So then GMs and scouts and coaches that wanted to basically tell guys some things that they know that were going to be, if you will, they would leak information to them knowing they're going to throw it out there and throw somebody off the trail. I said on this show that it's going to be Trey Lance is going to be drafted, despite what Mel Kiper talking about. Because the bottom line is those guys are never right. They get paid by the agency. You never hear on Twitter about agents talking about why he tweeted about that guy. Because all of them do is pay the money to get that stuff into the ecosystem that people believe was not true. And as soon as athletes, particularly African athletes, understand that, has nothing to do with agent, has nothing to do with your mock draft stand with Mel Kiper, has nothing to do with Shay. I study sports, all of them combined. So I come on the show properly day in and day out. Broke the news. Hawk can tell you, first pick will be Baker Mayfield. I'm the only one that said it. But I have my reasons why I said it, because I knew at the end of the day what NFL looks at. And at that time of Baker Mayfield, when they were looking for a face of 23 years old, I could see it already because they already started doing the commercials in advance. This is business and entertainment. And until athletes start to understand what that is and what goes into it, we find ourselves going full circle all over again. Lamar Ball did something great, but he didn't have the business component for it. His kids recognized it. They kicked him to the curb. That's corporate America. That's how this stuff works. It's always going to work that way. That's the one thing that reason why I'm able to be in this space as an advocate and a representative, because I know what I know. If people can say, you know what, he's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. They would have run cool. They would have all types of things about me. And they would move me out the way. But they can't.
Hey, Rob, you got a question. You got a question once you finish your thought. You got a question. Just make... I'm gonna let questions pop up, but finish your thought. Go ahead.
No, that's a good transition because I did text you.
I do want to know what about that question. So,
again, HBCU, and it's going back to Deion. Once again, this is, I'm not going to call it what it is. I said this before this happened. You now see Eddie George jumping. You heard that point Marshall Faulk was going to get it. These guys don't coach. They haven't coached. They've been great athletes on the field. But again, it's more to the coaching profession in this world today than just X's and O's. It's a business. When these schools are hiring these guys, they hire them because they want to bring name recognition and sell tickets. But the reality is, the same HBCU still don't got the right gym. They still don't got the right training facility. Deion Sanders jumped into the HBCU talking about he want to go get all kids free haircuts. Bro, that's an impermissible benefit. Because you did it all in Florida State, don't mean it can fly going over. And at the same time, as soon as you started to lose, you did the same cop-out as the rest of these coaches doing Division I. They're not my guys. Oh, not your guys. So what guys you think you're going to get to come there to basically eat on that meal plan that runs out like midway during the year and then turn around and think that at the end of the day, they're going to go get drafted because they're playing against competition that does not translate to where you're going to go. That's the point. The HBCUs is not about HBCUs. It's about the actual infrastructure of the actual building that you're in. You got to be developed. If you got a better training table, a better coaching staff, better strength program, guess what? That's where the player is going to go. Guess what? That's where the NBA player is going to end up getting coming from. That's where the player is going to go. Doesn't matter if it's Deion Sanders, and I said that before, he pulled the wall over your face because the bottom line is he came to that school promoting Deion more than each kid in process. For if they don't know who you are, what you can do, they're not going to draft. And that's another scenario where guys got to understand. If you're trying to make it to the professional rank, you got to put yourself in every position possible. And it's not playing for Nick Saban. One, yeah. it played out again. NFL GM says, everybody in agreement, everybody on this show that I know say, oh, Kyle Shanahan is great, right? That's what they all say. Guru, not Mitch LaFleur, right? Kyle Shanahan said, I'm taking Trey Lance from North Dakota State over anything that Nick Saban got offered. Not only did he go, but it went another 11 picks before Mac Jones. Because, again, Chicago jumped over to get Justin Fields.
Yep.
But the media would tell you Nick Saban is the greatest coach ever. Nah, the NFL knows what it is. And if you pay attention to the Patriots, too, the only people that keep drafting these guys first round high is Bill Belichick. What do we think about Bill Belichick right now as a GM? From my ear, I heard it ain't great. Who we keep drafting? Alabama players. What happened to Cyrus Jones, that corner? He was the first rounder, wasn't he? Second rounder, where he at now? Back in Tuscaloosa, popping corn. So my point is, again, all these different things that these guys don't understand, you go back to the main TV networks, the Adam Schefters, and the garbage that he pulled on that day, making it up as he went along. But I'm hearing you guys again, parents, do not fall for the 247 rivals thing. The kid is a two-star. Nick Saban says, I want to recruit him. He's going to be five-star by the next day. That's how it works. That's the definition of sports trafficking. You don't even know how to get to that point. You go with the big head thing and all Alabama five-star. You can't backpedal. And so not only that, but you don't understand, again, if you go somewhere like Georgia and it'll take 75% of something off of you, that without you to get zero, you know how this thing is going to end up for you. They get you early, they're going to get you late. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because like I said, that whole thing about having the audacity now to be blatantly outright telling the players, 75%? You're not running. You're not jumping. You're not getting hit. You're not speaking. You're not talking. They tell you how little they really value you as a human being. And you basically you're building a whole infrastructure. Sports in this country, in these states, is second to none.
Yep.
That's why boys, NFL owners want to have these stadiums. They get tax deductions and write-offs. All the universities are 501c3s. The poorer the black kid that goes to the school, the more subsidy the government gives to the state of Georgia. And then they gonna turn around and tell you, I'm going to charge you 75% to be here?
Oh, and then the fans will say, well, they give you a scholarship, not realize what you just said. He's a poor kid. As long as this poor kid do what he's supposed to do to get through the clearinghouse, I'm going to make even more money because of that. So, yeah, I'm giving him a scholarship, but I'm getting more on top. Like, I'm profiting off that by just him coming to the school.
A jersey and a t-shirt with the logo on it, which is going to be tax deductible for the apparel company, like Nike. Then they're going to sell that same apparel that you wear and let the donors, you sign it for autograph. Then the donors are going to try to sell it for wholesale to get to the league and make $10,000 for something that you sign, and they tell you can't even get a book or a meal or a tattoo. See, like I said, I've been done with all that. What you see happening, I started this. That's why I said, as an African-American man, I'm not apologizing anymore. If you see name, image, and likeness, you want to know what it look like, go through my social media feed, because you ain't going to see it nowhere else. Because the bottom line, we're talking about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. You don't even know how. But charging me 75% for something that you can't do? We got to get it together between here. It's not because we black or because we've been like this before in the past and we continue to look at, oh, it's too easy. Let's listen to Stephen A for 3 hours a day. Is it Mel Kiper, Thomas Shane? Every same thing all year. Same garbage. Am I checking them right now? No.
Hey, Rob, I want to speak to what Blaze had asked. I don't know if his phone died or something. I know he left, but this has always been my outlook on HBCU as a guy who went through it and experienced it. I know what it's like to dominate in a conference and be told I had a lack of competition. But three other guys from schools in the same conference get drafted because they're 6'5 and a half. They play the same position as me. We are freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors at the same time. Here I am at the time, 5'10", 5'11". They 6'4", 6'3", and all that, and running 4'5s and 4'4s. I basically, in my mind, I learned, and here I am. I'm freshman of the year. I'm defensive player of the year. I'm leading in everything. I knew then that if I go to a small school, I can't be lacking in the God-given areas. Like, you can't, it's no pill or food you can eat to make yourself grow and all that kind of stuff. Like, I started to realize then, and tell me if you think that I'm wrong on that, I felt like if I went to Alabama, because I can even find the paper with it. Like, I remember one time they had this debate about the best backers in the whole state of Alabama, and they said it was I over Alabama, Auburn, all them guys. But still, I didn't play in the SEC. If I played at Alabama, Auburn, anything like that, and still did what I did, they would have gave me a shot as opposed to being a smaller guy in a smaller conference. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree at a time, because like anything else, everything changes. And athletes that have been able to be successful coming from smaller schools, I played against Brian Westbrook. I got one concussion in my life. He gave it to me. I didn't even look that big. I was holding a receiver off, and I'm waiting. I'm keeping them in, arm free, slide off. Wow, like, oh, they walking me to the sideline. But he didn't need a hit on there. Like, even at that point, 1AA, you see the career Westbrook had. But at the same time, you know, he literally wasn't looked at a certain way to once he got there. So, like I said, as the times have changed, teams have stopped looking at it. And as I said before, we're seeing videos and scouts, because, again, it's no more he say, she say. People lie through their team, they still lie, but now you ain't got to take their word. You can see it for yourself. And so, as we keep operating like we did back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, again, from an HBCU standpoint, once again, I'm just being real. I went through the HBCU. So I came from the 1AA, and I got tricked into coming in. They told me it was a scholarship. It turned out to be a loan. That's the one thing. The second thing is that I was basically being used as a guy that came from 1AA and then used to say, you know what, well, even though he's really, really good, we have a guy that was here already. And basically used me as a stepping stone to promote their guy that was there from the get-go. End up getting drafted highly. But at the same time, never played corner before. You're talking about slapping the base. He never played corner before. I did. I came there. You know, he got that corner from being a safety. And I'm sitting looking crazy. But I didn't realize at the time, the HBCU actually used me as a stepping stone. They downplayed me as being an All-American over here, saying that he's better over here. And again, to his credit, he was 6'3". So once again, it was like a scenario where those things started to change. So again, reality is, in most cases in sport, everything starts with a height, weight, speed comparable. That gets you into the door. Then your technique and your fundamentals come from that standpoint, and then the professionalism. If you still think that it's about the school that you go to or coach you play for, once again, the top corner that got drafted, the first corner that opted out, also got drafted before the University of Alabama National Championship, which I said that will happen again, too, on this show. So, again, everything that I said that was going to happen, it was not on
the that.
Yeah, J.T. Horn, I did say it. I can save you a lot of money if they listen to me. I did say it here. This is all on tape. This is all in the room.
Talk your shit, Rob.
I'm the airwaves, but I study this stuff. Mm. And so at the end of the day, people are going to pay a lot more money than me for what they want to believe versus what the truth is. And they will say, listen, we as athletes, in particular minorities in general, will be a lot further along in this space. So that's what it's about, man. We got to take out our pride. And it's because you don't see people on a certain standpoint or whatever to be validated by people that literally mean you no good.
We teach the business side of it.
I got a two-part question, too, bro.
I agree, Rob. What you say, sir?
Hold on. Let Darren go ahead. Go ahead, Darren.
I was going to ask you two things. All right. First thing, I was going to ask you about the COVID, the guys that opted out. Because I know it hurt a guy like Twyman, who came to Minnesota on the sixth round. If he would have probably came out the year before, or if he would have played, he was like top of the ACC as a defensive tackle, and he took off a year to try to support his mom and his family. And the man that studied under Aaron Donald and had one bad pro day, and they knocked him all the way down to six. And then, what do you think about still, you know, those players that run into stuff like that? Or even like Justin Ross' situation from Clemson.
Yes, sir.
Justin Ross opting out last year. And then him having to come
out. Why Justin Ross opted out?
He got hurt.
You been hurt. He didn't get hurt. He been hurt. You know, he didn't know he was hurt because Clemson didn't tell him he was hurt. Mm. So it was time to make decisions. And so this goes back to the ending to Twyman, to the answer your question about Twyman. He said under Aaron Donald all you want. He's still 6 foot tall. The bottom line is at the end of the day, you are a defensive tackle at 6 foot tall. You ain't, the NFL is a business based off of experience. Aaron Donald is an anomaly. He work out whoever. He signed with Rosenhouse Sports. It does not matter. That's what I said before. At the end of the day, he's a 6 foot defensive tackle in the National Football League. And so once again, if you understand that what your really situation is, people are getting a sign with an agent because you say, oh yeah, you're gonna be a second rounder. That's the hook.
Mm.
I tell a guy, no, you might be a fifth round, help you move up based on this. They don't want to hear that. Plus, they want to get the bag up front, and I realize that bag going back is going to be taxed at a high level. But they don't want to hear all that. They want to hear what they want to hear.
Stroke that ego.
That's it. And again, at the end of the day, you talk about being a professional. A professional is going to evaluate the situation for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have somebody tell them what they want to hear. They're going to say, you know what? Pre-post game told me this. This person told me that.
Yeah.
Athletes first told Rashawn Gary this. Rock Nation told Rashawn Gary this. CAA told Rashawn Gary this. Pre-post game told Rashawn Gary this. Rashawn Gary says, I'm the new everybody. I can click. I can read. I can type. I can find out. I can understand.
And I got access to the same thing you got.
Now, that's it. And so now, but again, it's so many of us that keep going down the same path. So again, 1 million players in football a year, high school. About 30,000 whatever through college. 1% is only going to make it. And even after 1%, 80% go broke. Think about a business situation. You get $1 million in funds, the guys going to do what they're trying to do, police, coaches get paid. Then you get to the colleges, bowl games, apparel, all this other stuff, TV advertising, marketing, coaches, like that. These guys get a financial aid for being poor. You don't want them to get paid, you're going out your way. And then when the 1% made, the 1% is want to be told how great they are.
Appreciate you, Edward.
You broke 80% of the time, and ones in the business the last years. And players haven't figured out how to change that because they wait and think that the process and God's plan really is not. This is sports trafficking, man. It's a system. Mm. It's uneducated, uninformed labor. And there's trillions. We give up our bodies and our minds. Literally, but once that happens and it's over, because the next 1 million is trying out is next man up, and nobody's trying to hear what
I feel like our generations and stuff are so. That's the reason why I'm happy that people from our time and the times now and everything weren't born during the time where we needed people to stand up for all.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Because that's basically what it boils down to. What guys are saying is, I'm not willing to be, and you can't blame them also. They're like, I'm not willing to be the sacrifice for the greater good. You get what I'm saying? Far as this business thing, I think a lot of people understand that, hey, we can really take control, but other black people understand that we don't come together like we supposed to.
And that's funny because Teray posted, I like when Jay-Z started sports management. Just because you have my name, I'm cool. But let me ask this. I just said before, he maybe came on the show late. Ask Teray, what's Jay-Z doing for Des Bryant right now? He's been running routes on A against high school and college kids for 5 years. Had 2 weeks in the NFL with Baltimore, basically. Somebody not trying to set him up for success to get a job after the fact, don't let him know it's over? That the Dez, the X is no longer what the hell looks for. That'd be the headache. His body does not hold up the way they want. This who has to tell Dez Bryant that before he continues to keep giving Instagram all types of love from their algorithms? So that's what I said again. Well, Jay-Z also had rappers and Memphis Bleak and all the other guys. What they doing right now?
I know Memphis all right. We know Memphis all right.
That's what he's saying.
Well, by working class person standards, he's okay. Let me preface
that. Point. It's a setup. It's a setup for us. It's a setup for them. And the sad part about it all is that it's not like it's back in the 60s and 70s. You know, LeVar Ball could have basically took some of that bravado and learned more about the business.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, my boys. Yeah, your boys are good. But eventually, they're not going to be. And you got to understand that. And you ain't doing nothing about making sure the business side is right. And eventually your boys will recognize, oh, you dad, but you don't know what you're doing. And if you turns out to be a crazy person, either going to know a little bit or know more than you do, and you don't know if you're going to get got or not. And at the end of the day, it's like the end of the day, this business is about leveraging knowledge. And if anybody don't understand this business, we on the ball show right now. He LLC. Mm-hmm. He ain't got to get in 6 or 7 figures to know that that's the best thing you need to be doing. So if you a millionaire or professional athlete, what you doing? Mm-hmm. You losing because the government's eating you like eating you alive. And so is your agencies and so is your advisors. Everybody else will recognize that you don't understand what you're getting into. And once they finish you, they're going to do it to the next one. And they ain't got nobody else to blame for. Technology right here. I'm here. I purposely did it this way. I've been asking your agent 13 times. I said, for what? I'm not going to devalue myself because it looks good on TV. When Bob Hawk, like I said, he's ready for the big time. I just want to ask on this show, everybody's a witness, when he do make it big time, he go on one of them shows, all the clips of me making those breaking news scenarios, somehow they come up. Because at the end of the day, everybody else is getting a whole lot more money than me for not knowing nothing. Mm-hmm. At least I can do is say, you know what? He did say that. He could have saved somebody, helped somebody. And it's not even a malicious type of thing. It's like saying, like, look, just take the time to understand, like, what this is not a career. This is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. He's going to do it. And right. The thing is, most players want to be told that, oh, I'm walking on water. It's never going to change. I'm going to be the greatest thing ever. Like I said, all those guys from Alabama that came out just now, they mentioned all these guys as 6th-round draft picks. I mentioned guys like Dylan Moses, who I said last year on this show was going to be screwed because Nick Saban convinced him as a 25-year-old to come back to school. Grandmother died, went undrafted. ESPN not telling you that. So when you talk about these guys getting drafted, we got the oldest team in college football. So when the 6th got drafted in the first round, I'm talking about the other 10 that didn't get drafted. That stayed in school with a tag t-shirt till their knees fall off. Guys in Tennessee as a center about to be in his 7th.
Say that one more time.
As a center. Tennessee center is going in year 7 because of COVID thing they gave him an extra year.
Yeah. Damn. Wow.
That's
how you play a decade of college football.
Yeah, you got a basketball player that's doing that too. I think he going to like a 6th or 7th year kid in Iowa.
See, I always talk about this idea because of
huh?
He said he playing that?
An hour. I knew you. Yeah, it's alley-oop. Do the alley-oop.
Can you imagine how much, like, that's cheating almost, because I always thought about it, like schools where I'm from, they'll hold you back a year so they can get an extra year of you and you'll be more polished and all that. So I think about the guys that done that and they redshirt a year. That's 2 extra years you got above incoming true freshman. I started as a true freshman, never failed in school. Then you got guys who got a medical red shirt or something. That's 3 years now. Hey. If they plan during this time and did all that, they got the COVID stuff. That's another 4 years.
Yeah, and because I know folks are going to try to combat what you're saying. I know what they're going to try. So I'm going to take this away from them. If somebody has a medical and they're rehabbing, I can see, like, we can see the difference in that because you're expending a lot of energy trying to get back healthy. So you're not really trying to learn as much as you're trying to get back on the field and be healthy. But when somebody's healthy and they getting an extra year, that's when we like, yo, that's some bullshit. Like COVID gave out the free year. And you
the NJCA, you don't even want to know how dirty JUCO is. I only talk about the NCAA. JUCO got 4-year seniors.
What?
They got dudes that they switch jerseys. They got guys that literally came out of nowhere and switched it up. I played in JUCO. I got a dude told me the other day they want me to look into it, and I am at one point, because in JUCO you get Pell Grants. Pell Grant is not a loan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's financial aid, but it's for a year.
Yeah.
Guys that would transfer from mid-year to one JUCO to another school because they used to use that money at JUCO to pay the rent for what they're paying. So players never even seen the check. The coaches in the school would get the check. But then all of a sudden they go to the next school, the checks still coming because it's a 1-year type of thing off your financial aid and your social. So they contacted me, like, can you look into this? And like, they've been getting money. I'm like, that doesn't shock me. JUCO, this whole sports thing is bad.
And again, it's super bad. And that's one thing about black college that I love my school, And there's things that I don't even put out there because, like, I tell guys all the time, if I wanted to, like, I can make my own school look real bad if I tell the whole story of the financial part that went on with me there, right? Mm. And yet here I am, I'm an alumni that donates all the time to the school. So my thing is, like, it's so many people who feel like, man, we ought to just support HBCUs just because. Now, there's a lot of people that's woke enough to understand that, man, the black folks messing you off just as much, you know? So you got to be careful. People don't want to just throw their money into something when they know it's people who have realized, you know what, this is a business, and I'm going to take advantage of it and then use the black card to get over on you. Mm. And that's what's happening. So it's like, yeah, the white man doing it and the black man doing it. It's just on different levels as far as the amount of money.
I said that to Amon last week, I think. I said, people say all the time, sports is the only thing with color don't factor in. And I said that you hear everybody say that. And it's because black people and white people together robbing the players blind equally, like jointly. Like, they do it together. Like, they like, yeah, you get in here, you tell them, you call them bro, you tell Amon, you call her sister, you get him here, I'm a screw him up, but I'm going to pay you really. And then that's what it is. Yeah, that's exactly how it goes. And so at the end of the day, that's the sad part about it. The reality is the African-American people that's doing it, they're never going to get anywhere out of that system. They're going to continue to be the sports traffickers, runners, the bottom feeders. And then the credit's going to go to those that's basically on a higher up that may be Caucasian. But at the same time, the players ain't going to basically benefit for that either because now he just got sold a bill of lies. But he didn't get sold a bill of lies from the coach that keep the job. He got sold it by the black guy. So that's the buffer. Mm-hmm. That's the in between. That's saying, okay, yeah, he told you that. I ain't tell you that. And so that's how they insulate themselves in that. And then they'll find the next one who want to get in that same spot that black guy. They'll toss him to the curb and pull up the next high school coach, mm-hmm. the AAU coach. And so again, I had a mom reach out to me about the sport and about how these things get in. And then she basically felt like the host home seduced her son. Yeah, it happens. I mean, this thing, that's why I copyrighted the word sports trafficking is deep. You got adults that are preying off of kids' unknown wishes and dreams and understand where they come from. This is why the industry fought so hard and still fighting so hard. Yes, the kids might be messed up, but they get money. But you know what? It's better than to get money because they get that money. Now it's not going to other people right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Then they can stop and think for a second. Because right now, everything we see on TV, on Instagram, is about trying to get the bag, secure the bag. Stupid statement, by the way, because you secure a bag when it comes to finances, you don't know finances, it's going to leave. Mm. As I said, all offshore is LLC. He ain't making nonfigs. You might be making nonfigs. If you do, holler at me, we can talk about
it. I ain't making nonfigs. Y'all would have known by now, because y'all would be getting stuff in the mail.
All right, that's what I'm saying. So, today, it's like, you ain't got to be making nine figures to basically realize you need to do something in business to make this stuff cool to do that. And these kid players that are making millions don't have anything but lawsuits, baby mamas, and child support. And Deshaun Watson right now, this whole scenario with his, you know how much his lawyer fee, they ain't talking about that. And whether he's guilty or not, he's lost.
Ho, Rob. You just said something that went over a lot of people's heads. Let's get back to Sean Watson again. Every day, what's taking place with his little piggy bank with these lawyers?
He didn't get invoice. That's why he's another phone call, another check, whatever.
On retainer.
They say, you are free of charge, Sean. You are great. That lawyer ain't giving that money back. You're not understanding this, you win.
That's a fact, yo. And that's a lot. That's what people don't realize is that you can have these accusations and then... It got quiet, but the whole time it's quiet, that money's still going out.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Hey, Rob, do you think with the NCAA, because me personally, I believe wealthy folks, smart people leave nothing to chance. Do you believe that, okay, the right amount of people got mad and they finally said, well, let's start letting players make money and things of that sort. Did the NCAA, did they see this coming and was like, y'all, we got to prepare for this. Eventually, we're going to have to let them think they're getting something.
Remember what happened 2 years ago when all the players in the basketball so-called scandal and with DeAndre Ayton and then Zion and the guy Trey from Oklahoma. And they said, oh, we found him guilty. Them dudes didn't miss not one game, none of them. The coach didn't even get fired right away. The fact of the matter is this whole thing about not paying the players, the NCAA is well aware that coaches, we got moves out there, blue chips, the program. Like I said, you got rule things that happen. They actually made movies about that everybody's well aware of. But yet they make a rule so when the kids sidestep out of line, they can basically say, air you to say, don't do this or else. That's what agents do when they come in and pay you early. They extort you, pennies to the dollar. You better sign with me. I gave you this money. I gave your mom this money. So you better do what I say all the way through. Mm-hmm. And so, again, they fight me because once that happens, you can't go in the living room anymore and talk greasy because we got money based on what we did. And so now NCAA didn't all of a sudden find out. Again, I'm going to take credit for what I said. I started the name, image, and likeness. I'm the one that had Rashawn Gary with his logo running around Michigan while 100,000 in front of 100,000 fans in the stadium without asking for permission. Yeah, Michigan uniform has got Jordan on it, but they ain't paying him. He ain't going to be here forever. This is about moving forward. So if I'm going to be seen by 100,000 people next week, let me make sure they see what I want them to see. Because I ain't going to have this time to do it forever. So again, when it came to that scenario, then these players, like I said, again, started overseas. We always joke about, you know, guys like the guy Doncic, but again, he didn't play in the NBA, being in the NCAA. There's a lot of dudes that play over in Europe, even on the ball right now. So like I said, again, people, when they started really figure out, like, you, if you want to play basketball as a pro, learn how to be a pro. LaMelo Ball right now is part owner of the team he played for. Why is the media, why is ESPN not talking? We know why. I'm just saying, rhetorically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I talk about my guy? We know why. Because the bottom line, they'd rather have guys like Stephen A. Smith, who's uninformed, never been nothing, got a couple acronyms, make some come faces, know that the biggest Cowboys fans in the world are what it is. So now what do? You make fun of them because you get more views. When you do an attempt on draft day when you ain't got a story, you talk about what happened, but it didn't happen that day. So again, we talk about announcing your own platform. You guys see my background right now. I'm a 5-star right now, and he signed with us. He doing things with his name, image, and likeness. He announces his thing on his platform. This is where the spots start to come. Right up there in that box that pre-posted. Why? Because now I've got 80,000, 100,000, 1 million viewing me. I don't need to share that platform with ESPN and let you get the marketing and branding and the sponsors. But it's too hard. It's not hard. But it's too much work. It's too much to realize. Like, you'd rather be seen as somebody say they gave you something versus you actually building your own for longevity. Because, again, in the day, when you do your own, as a test too, and you guys probably can as well, when you build your own, ain't nobody pat you on the back. You got to get up and do it yourself every day. You got to get it where you live it.
Yep.
And if you don't, it's going to stop.
Yep.
I'm not here. Somebody said, yo, that's a great thing you're doing to help others. Or is why people listen to me now. I keep screwing up the people that's in there, the millions, by saying things that happen at the end of the day, nobody else wants to do. And that's fine with me. I don't care if they don't give me that process. But like I said, again, this whole thing is a cycle. And that's why I said I want to continue to get on here. And again, for me, being a black man and working, no, I'm not too big to talk to somebody. I was in a draft last week, as you guys know.
Yep.
You know, so at the end of the day.
And popped up on the show.
Yeah. So it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, I can tell you something. I don't know if I should do that yet. I should wait.
Yeah, we're going to wait. Yeah, wait on that.
There's a dude that got drafted, and literally, if he don't leave that group alone before the end of this year, I'm going to be talking about him on the show in the near future. Because I already know how this is going to go. When you come to Cleveland, you ain't no way from there in Cleveland, there's about 40 people around, and a draft pick's about to come up, and you in a whole Spicer hotel, and y'all chest bumping and doctors and khakis and bouncing up the wall. He's going here, but he didn't even go in. We made it. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Not ready to go to where you want to be at.
Hey.
But now you're getting big money, and you got to understand that people now are going to look at you and see you differently. You got to know how to control that.
Yeah.
Or the league is going to, and again, he actually fell some spots. And I think that's because of the reason, because he has some type of quote unquote character issues. But that's the point. The people that are around you can't even keep them from losing their mind on something like that. So it's like you got to surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah.
Or it gets bad.
Yeah, bro. Definitely.
Hey, Rob.
Go ahead, Darren.
I was gonna say that's a whole nother reason for you to even hate Alabama because of that linebacker we had talked about. I think you talked about it last year.
Mm-hmm.
I did talk about it on this show. It was Josh.
About it last year.
And Darren Moses. But I told you,
hey, he should have went to the draft last year. He had a great year that year.
Yeah, but Nick Saban and his group told him he wouldn't be. See, once again, it's coaches that interfere in a conflict of interest in the business that literally continues to put these guys in the same bad spot over and over again. Because they ain't isolated in that type of area. They don't have groups like mine that literally where you can get an independent evaluation of where you stand per se. They're going to tell you that, oh, I talked to this NFL person. No, you didn't. Think about this right now. The media is telling everybody again how great Alabama is. But as I said earlier, all these opt-outs from these schools, including 1AA, went before Alabama players.
Hmm.
Well, so what's taking so long for the football players? I was going to say, what's taking so long for the football players to fire up?
Well, but that's the thing. It depends on who you're around. Like I said, again, I'm not going to lie. We know what this is. We've been playing sports. You want to hear what you want to hear. Jamar Chase opts out from LSU. He goes before a Heisman Trophy winner. Oh, by the way.
And the receiver that got hurt on Alabama went before. So you play a whole year with no injuries, no, quote, red flags, and two receivers still go ahead.
About this, too. All of them younger than him all, so that boy old.
Yeah, Devontae Smith is older, but Jalen Waddle's older than Jamar Chase. I get it. But now that Alabama is talking about 6 first-rounders and making money on championships, Jamar Chase is going to have a longer career because he's younger and he has less tread on his tires. Like I said, it's a business equation.
Mm-hmm.
But what you watch on TV, the narrative of TV want to talk about, again, all these first-rounders. Well, what happened? All the first-rounders went after the opt-outs. That should have been the story.
That should have been the story. And that breaks the status quo. That breaks the status quo. Jamar,
you want to know why that's not the story? That's not the story because they lose money at these guys opt out.
Exactly.
But the players, so they rather let the players lose money versus them. That's why I said before, you got to stop listening to them and trust the facts and not the process. That's what, see how that all works together?
Hey, but check this out, man.
In a bowl game. And them guys been still going where they supposed to go, and people be mad about
it. I'm glad Rock said that because that does fit with the narrative about people saying, oh, you turning your back on your teammates and blah, blah, this, and you need to play in the bowl game. That's status quo. They never seen players take a hold of their careers and show fans this is a business. Stop thinking.
The NFL rewarded them for making a business decision.
Yeah. Stop thinking that we're in the back. Stop thinking we're in the backyard playing pickup. Come on, man. We not. This is a business.
See, that's what I'm saying. But see, I asked this question before, and I don't think I had got an answer on it because I'm still to this day confused on how the NFL will punish somebody for something they did in college.
Again, man, that's circumstantial stuff, and that's something they put out there. You're talking about the people that put it out there, not the ones that making the decisions. Bottom line, when it's all said and done, the NFL or these teams can get the best out of you. Mm-hmm. And what you can do for them, they don't care what you did at Alabama. They don't care what you did anywhere. Again, then you talk about Justin Ross, and again, it's crazy that you mentioned that he opted out. I'm like, he didn't want to opt out. There's guys that play in college at the highest level that had significant life and death injuries and was misdiagnosed. The reason why the NFL was so mad or upset about really what happened when it came to the combine, it wasn't about the running and jumping. That's the whole point. The guys that opted out didn't run and jump in the combine either.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the medical. Saban in Alabama, the notorious lie. And then when they fall down, remember, if you're going to tell you, if you think Devontae Smith is better than Jerry Jeudy, I don't know what to tell you.
Nah, bro.
No, he's not. The Rock will make their face. Rock, he's not.
I agree with you.
Jerry Jeudy went number 15 last year.
Yeah,
I saw Jerry Jeudy. Drew Lock his ass.
Jerry Jeudy can get open against anybody.
He made number 15 because he had a knee injury that nobody knew about at Alabama. This is my point. If you stopped and did what you take care of your body before, then you wouldn't be. But you things that make Nick Saban and Alabama look great, and then they come around and bite you in the butt. So you sit there on draft, they mad. Well, again, this, the NFL got your medical records now. And that's what you're right.
All right, yo, we got like 3 minutes. Go ahead, Darren.
My bad. Remember like last year when the quarterback that got drafted high for Atlanta, and they kept wondering like why is he getting played so high? Well, you kept getting cooked by Jamar
Clemson.
Chase. In that championship game.
The Clemson DB, right?
They're
playing against
It was Terrell.
He
was about to bring up how Pat Surtain was getting done in by Chase.
See, that's my point. See, I don't think anybody else even said that. But like I said before, when they say J.C. Horn, they said, you see what J.C. Horn did to the Alabama receivers? Like, somehow they missed that.
Yeah, when social media finally shared those stats,
the
Todd Mashade stuff had to shut the hell up. Go ahead, finish your thought, Darren. You in a bad area, bro.
Did y'all see Jamar Chase took Patrick Surtain last year?
Yeah, that's what Rock just finished it for, yeah.
The year before last?
Yeah.
That's why he opted out.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't have to nothing to prove. Exactly.
Bro, I knew Chase was the best receiver, even though like he didn't play. Like when you watched LSU, dude is a dog.
Yeah.
Like it was nowhere around. And then like the way he built, I'm taking him over Smith any day.
Hey, look,
like,
let me tell you something. Somebody got in Jamar Chase and told him the business, bro. You got 19 to 20 receiving touchdowns. Why the hell would you play another year?
You know, it's about that really a lot of players opted out as sophomores.
Yeah, yeah. Because that year count. You know what I'm saying?
So it's important to go to a school where you can play right away versus end up in Alabama or being the one that I'm going to back you up or rate your career. The NFL ain't interested in that.
Yep.
That's the point. They literally took dudes that left in 1 year because they're healthy and what they can do. But you're not going to hear the guy college the game they talk about that. Not any ESPN talk about. Because, again, that's how they make their money, by basically keeping you there. And then when the coaches win because you're 30 years old in college, Winky or Cordell Jones, then you basically want to talk about how great a coach you are. Like, that's not by accident, man. Like, you go get a 30-year-old man to play quarterback, you should win.
That's why I'm happy. I'm happy we got who we got because of this. People always talking about address a need. I'm not just going to address a need if that guy not life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy that we got Parsons. Dude is special.
Mm-hmm.
So why – I don't think Surtain would have made it where, you know what I'm saying, okay, now we're a top 10 defense.
It's like what Rob said, man. You got to go with the risk. A linebacker is like a DB is high risk versus a linebacker. If you had to compare the two, and that's why, because when he said that, it makes sense why people jump out and get a quarterback. Because the back, you could kind of get a better return no matter how they work out.
Money regardless. So again, they look at it, they can develop you more and more.
Yeah.
Around.
Yep.
But like I said, my whole point of getting on talking about these states and these schools, and again, for us as African American people and understanding the business of sport, like, it's all business. So you can't talk about high school athletics anymore, like in the state of Texas, and I know it's $1 billion business every
six
year.
Figure coaches.
Pop Warner is $1 billion business.
No, that's my point. The people that we got around these kids too, we gotta understand. Most of the people that's working with them, whether y'all like it or not, they trying to sell your kid the highest bidder. Mm. That was the thing we didn't even talk about it today. But that's the point. Every HBCU coach that's there is just like every coach in the Power Five.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about 40 schools in the country outside of any football, basketball school, where every coach that got coming to that school was HBCU, 1AA, to try to basically use your kids to take a job elsewhere as soon as they can.
Yep.
So the five-star to come there and that shit, they win, like they go undefeated.
Yep.
Deion leaving all of them right where they at. And then he going basically... And then they're going to be stuck with the next guy that scraps. And
You know what I don't like, Rob? I don't care what city and state you go to. If you talk to a little league football coach, they're going to say, man, ain't no money in this. I don't know what people tripping. It is money in little league sports.
It is.
Like, when I tell you, you can throw a tournament and make a $500,000 easily.
You know what's the part about this? I want to tell your audience that's out there, especially in VA. Parents about there, if your son is 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 and ain't somebody sent you something saying that your son's an all-star, they sent that to you and the kids in Tokyo too, that they all-stars. And if they show up, they're going to let you play like your son going to play.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that it don't cost nothing on a piece of paper to tell your kid he's an all-star, and then you basically pay for the hotel and the travel expenses to get there, and then all of a sudden they get a kid back to the hotel.
Not only do they get a kickback from the hotel, what they're doing is you're paying money to play in this tournament, right? Each team is paying X amount of dollars to be in the tournament, right? Then when you get there, they're going to make the parents pay a weekend pass.
Yeah.
You can pay $30 and be able to come all weekend, or you can pay $20 a game.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you're going to pay that. Then it's going to be no outside food or drinks.
Yeah.
If you leave,
they're going to monopolize on the whole thing.
So now you got to buy all their concessions. Yep. Man, they're making a killing.
Hey, that's how we're going to end the show. I think that's a great way to end the show. We got to get up out of here, because at the end of the day, it shows you how full circle it is. And the topic y'all just talked about, like how in Little League, how you could get that invitation and rock, you know, discuss how you pay for the room and board, and then how they monopolize, like, even the food. And then don't give me the merchandise, the memorabilia, the picture.
Yeah.
I'm taking a picture of you guys. Here, you can get in this frame. You can get in this plaque. You know, once the kids see the plaque, hey, mama, hey, it's memorabilia. So,
hey, my academy is cheaper than that. Pre-post game sports business academy is a lot cheaper than going on one of these 6-year-old all-star tournaments. I'm just saying.
Rob, this is what I do. I go city to city, and I put kids on the cover of the video games just like their favorite athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I make a killing.
And, yo, with that being said, man, appreciate my dog, Rock. Appreciate Robert T. Green, of course. Appreciate Darian for coming on today. Appreciate Shake and Bake, Blaze. This was Freestyle Friday. And you just never know when Rob going to pop up and drop them jewels on y'all. That's why you got to tune in, because you know once he come in the building, it's about to get real. And before I leave, Adam Schefter just showed y'all how easy it is to start some BS. Because what he did with A-Rod, they said, what made you just put it out? I mean, it was just accumulation of things. And I was just like, I'm going to just put it out today.
Glorified snitch.
I'm going to just start trouble today. I mean, with no recourse. I'm going to just start trouble today. Nobody really told me this. I just listened to a bunch of interviews from the past and figured this was going on. That's why when people say sources, nah, I don't do that source stuff. Either I know or I don't know. And when I do know, I ain't going to tell you until the person who I'm saying it about gives me the okay, or they come on and show and break it.
Like Iowa's now and again is moving further in the federal
court. Oh, you broke.
For racism and bullying. I told mine that we've been doing that. Yeah, we're moving forward with that again. So Iowa, I guess the parents of Iowa athletes, when they still practicing voter suppression, Robbie Witt, send your kids to African-American athletes to Iowa and the Kirk Ferentz, Brian Ferentz, and the rest of them, because at the end of the day, it's real. Take your talents elsewhere and be happy about your life. That's my last name on that.
Well, and there we go, man. It's the Ball Hawk Show. Salute to everybody. Salute to the sponsor, Abra Insurance. Salute to John's the Company and Apparel, man. And that's how we doing it. Y'all be easy. Oh!
What up, though? Ball Hawk Show.